may be seated. Now this morning, if you do have any more white gifts out there, please feel free to bring them up and set them around the altar so we can bless them when we bring our gifts, tithes, and offerings forward. But this morning, I do just want to share a short little message since it is the third Sunday of Advent. And this is a time where we are looking forward to the birth of Christ into this world. And believe it or not, God's will for us today is to be made whole and holy here and now in this present world where we live at this moment while we wait for this new world to come with the return of Jesus. Now, this is not a foreign thought to us today, but the means by which this is lived out might be. Sorry, I have a box back here I'm trying not to stand up on. But how are we made holy? What in the world does it even mean to be holy? Is being holy something we can actually achieve as people who are considered saints yet still sinners? Being made holy is the result of God's work and blessing in our lives. The here and now practices are not direct means to that end in themselves. Because no amount of praying, though there was a lot of that this past Tuesday, or hopeful intent that we will be made holy will get us there, because there's a more proper way, a more suitable way does indeed exist. Instead, practices of rejoicing and prayer and listening for the Spirit opens us to see and then to cooperate with God's sanctifying grace, that grace that has been given to us while we're traveling down the road in our lives of faith and then actually using that grace. Now that's a key word right there, using the grace that we have been given by God, because it is in that sense that these practices, this rejoicing, being prayerful, listening, among others, for the Spirit, we call those means of grace. But none of these practices, however, come naturally to most of us. You know, our kids have to know why we worship to understand these practices. They not only have to see them here, but in every aspect of our lives to understand that church is a way of life. Church is something that we are at our core, and these practices are learned, and they have to be practiced and reinforced. It's like your kids' teachers, especially in preschool and nursery school, they tell you, we are learning this in school today, and we need for you to continue to reinforce this behavior at home. But if it's not reinforced at home, it gonna stick with the kids? You expect the teachers to potty train your child if you're not trying to do it at home? Anyways, how many of y'all know the 12 days of Christmas? All 12 of them? Nobody. Excellent. Excellent. I made it up to 7. I couldn't get past the 7 swans of swimming as a little kid. And the other day when we went to Jones Beach, they got that Festival of Lights thing set up down there. And as you're leaving the Santa's Village and they have the different days. And of course, we're driving out and I know everybody else is doing the same thing we were doing. Guess which song we was singing? And we got past the 7 swans of swimming and I'm sitting there and I'm like, 8. Oh, we might be able to get through this yet. And then the squinting my eyes, what's that up there? 9 ladies dancing. And then, all right, so we got 10s coming up next. We got 10, And then there's 11 pipers piping. And then the last one, I always had the last one, it was the 12 drummers drumming because everyone was just so happy for that song to be over. But 7, I figured I could make it to the 7 swans of swimming. 7, that's the number of perfection. I figured that's as far as I need to get in this song. The rest can just be whatever it is. You know, Jesus said, I am 7 times in the book of John. You know, those, I am the bread of life. We worship on the 7th day of the week. A lot of people think, no, we begin with Sunday. No, we reflect on the past week that we've had, giving thanks to God. And then we look forward for the week to come. 7 just seems like the perfect number to use in about any situation, it seems. Anyways, 7 practices in the church that would just devoid us of any meaning if we happen to omit any one of them. Communion, we celebrate the presence of Christ with us. Baptism, entrance into the body of Christ, becoming part of this worshipful community. Prayers, communicating with God, opening our hearts up to our Lord. Our presence, being there to support the body of Christ, to being the shoulder that someone may need to lean on in days of distress. Service, because we're serving God and our neighbors through ourselves. We offer gifts during this season to those we know may not have any, which is clearly evident today. We witness. So why not share the good news and bring our testimony to others? We all have a story to tell. We all have some miracle that has happened to us in our lives that God allowed to happen that we have to bring to the world. Because the greatest miracle of all was the entrance of God into our lives, who was born through the Virgin Mary and was denied a room at the hotel, so they went out back. And here we have the good news brought to us in the most lowly of ways. So in closing, as we draw near to the ending of this season of rejoicing and preparing to celebrate the coming of God into our world, into God's creation through Jesus, we got to remember we're here to rejoice, we're here to pray, we're here to listen. We're here to serve and to give witness. But also living our lives as though we are in the end times, whenever that may occur. So we have to be a body of Christ, ready to proclaim our own identity. So are we ready to claim the name of our Lord for our own? Are we ready to be the beacons of light out in the world that can bring the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy that we proclaim this season to all God's children? And then are we ready to be the children that God has called us all to be? Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.